right, Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2 says that it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so we've been calling this course here the School of Prayer. That was a book, famous book written by Andrew Murray back in the 1800s. He wrote a book called With Christ in the School of Prayer. And it's about the deeper prayer life. I believe any human being can pray to God. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you'll find that prayer is a subject that gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's more and more of a blessing as you learn it. Years ago, we did a course around here called Prayer 101. We made a booklet out of it. You can have one of them. They're free. This is on top of that, Prayer 201. This is a deeper look at prayer, and we're up to the fourth lesson tonight. The disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Boy, there's a good request right there. Lord, teach us to pray. Every one of us in every age ought to ask the same. It doesn't come natural to pray. It doesn't come natural to depend on God. It is usually natural for us to depend on ourselves and what we can do, or depend on human beings and what they can do for us. We need to depend on the Lord. Teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray, and now Jesus' disciples wanted him to teach them to pray, and so he began to give them instructions, and so we call it the School of Prayer, but it's really a lifetime of learning. It's something you never graduate from, and prayer can become such a wonderful, wonderful thing in our lives. So he said unto them in verse 2, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he goes on and tells a parable about prayer, the need for persistence in prayer, and goes down through verse 13. So we're kind of picking this apart, and we're up to lesson 4. Just a reminder, the first lesson was on the first two words, and that's where many people have a tremendous struggle right there. The first two words are Our Father. So the first lesson was entitled Two Words into the School of Prayer. Many people did not have a good father growing up. They don't have a concept about what a good father is. Some people, their father was the worst person in their lives and made their lives miserable. Maybe their father deserted them. Maybe their father divorced their mom and left them or never paid any attention to them, never gave them any love, never gave them any encouragement, never taught them anything. There's a lot of people who have a lot of issues with their earthly father. Then they get saved. They come to know Jesus as their Savior, and they have a hard time relating to a loving, caring Father in heaven. And they can't get over their human experience to get into a divine experience. And so just two words into prayer, they begin to struggle with the whole concept of saying Our Father. They can say God, Lord, Heavenly, or Almighty God or something like that, but to be able to honestly say from their heart, Our Father, is foreign to them. And so God, according to Galatians 4 and verse 6, Jesus has sent the Spirit of His Son. God has sent the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus called God Father over 70 times in the New Testament, between 60 and 70 times. That's how when almost any time Jesus addressed God, he addressed him as Father. Father, Father, my Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father, Abba Father, and we went through that in lesson 1. And so Jesus had a wonderful relationship with his Father, and now he has sent his same Spirit into our hearts so we can also so we can overcome all of the human obstacles maybe our Father put in the way. And so the first lesson is you've got to know God as your Father. You've got to know Him as your Father. He has to be personal to you and real to you. And then the second lesson was on the child-father relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven. Just like we have a Father on earth, so we have a Father in heaven. We ought to maintain a relationship with Him. Now, when you did have a Father on earth, if you had a good Father, you didn't just ask Him for things. There was a whole lot more to your relationship with your earthly Father than just to ask Him for things. And so you had to obey your Father. You had to please your Father. You had to learn from Him. You had to listen to Him. You had to go places with Him. You had to work with Him. Maybe He said, I've got to mow the lawn. In my case, on the farm, we just work side by side, day after day after day, out in the fields and in the barns and so on and so forth. And so I would say the majority of my time with my earthly Father on earth was spent working with Him and learning from Him and listening to Him and obeying Him and pleasing Him. And then after all of that, then I could ask Him for things. But some people don't do very well in their life school of prayer because they have no relationship with their Heavenly Father. They just ask Him for things once in a while. And they may ignore Him for a long time and then say, oh yeah, God, I'm really in a fix. I need money. You know, that's not how you have a relationship with the Father. So we stressed in lesson two the importance of a child-father relationship, how, and our key verse in that study was 1 John 3 and verse 22. Which says, whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, there's a condition to prayer, and that is pleasing God and doing His commandments. And then we ask and we receive. So that was lesson two. The third lesson was sanctifying the name of God. Our Father which art in heaven, and notice the next phrase, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means to sanctify the name of God in your life. What that means is that you ought to study the name of God. And we went through some of the names of God last week with this study in the Hebrew, how He has so many names, and every one of those names meets a need in our life so that we can look to Him as our all-sufficiency. When you were a little child, if you had a good father, your father was your all-sufficiency. You didn't have any money. You didn't have a roof over your head. You didn't have a bed. You didn't have any food. So your father did it all for you. He provided your transportation. And he provided your food and drink and shelter and your bed and so on and so forth. And you grew up with all sufficiency, and hopefully if you had a really good father, he taught you wisdom, he taught you knowledge, he taught you many things in life that would help you the rest of your days. And so there was a dependency. And that's what it means when we say, hallowed be thy name, we sanctify the name of God. We saw, for instance, Hagar, who was left high and dry. She was sent out to the wilderness by Sarai to die, and she had absolutely no hope of survival until God came along. And he revealed Himself to her in a Hebrew name, Jehovah Roi, which means, thou God seest me. And God took care of her, and she learned as a little Egyptian handmaiden that God takes care of people who are insignificant. And you may feel like the most insignificant person on earth tonight, like Hagar did. There is a name of God that you can rest in, where He can meet your need. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord that healeth us. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, satisfying one, the one who can give us pleasure and joy. And Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but the Lord can give us his righteousness. And there's so many names, and you've got to get the last lesson. I didn't review that very well, but prayer is about taking the names of God into your life and practicing them and finding that he's all you need. He's all you need. Now, tonight's lesson is very, very important. We get up to the phrase where it says, "Thy kingdom come." Now, if you've never done this, in verse number 2 in your Bible, if you want to take a pen, circle the phrase in verse 2, "Thy name." And then the phrase, "Thy kingdom." And then the phrase, "Thy will." And the title of this fourth lesson is this: it's all about God first. It's all about God first. If you're going to really advance in your prayer life, you're going to have to mature to the point where your prayer life is all about God first. Notice it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so on earth." Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And he's saying, now the first thing I want you to do is acknowledge God, sanctify his name, and then realize that the first order of business is the Father's business. The Father's business. Jesus said when he was 12 years old, when Mary and Joseph questioned him, when he stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they'd gone several days' journey back towards Nazareth, and they missed him. They lost him in the company of family and relatives, and they had to go all the way back. They found him in the temple, and he was talking to the doctors and lawyers and Sadducees and everything, but you know the story. He said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Don't you understand? I must be about my Father's business. And that's the title of our lesson tonight. It's about the Father first. Prayer is about the Father first. When we get down to the nitty-gritty of praying, I mean advanced praying, it's about the Father first. It's about his name. It's about his kingdom. It's about his will. Here in verse number 2. Then you get to verse 3. Give us, circle the word us, day by day our daily bread. Circle the word our. And forgive us, circle the word us, our sins. Circle the word our. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Circle the word us. And lead us. Circle that word us, not into temptation, but deliver us. Circle the word us. Why? So next time you can read it, and you're reading your Bible through, and you come to verse 2, you'll say, oh yeah, verse 2, when I begin to pray, it's all about the Father first, and then me afterwards. Now, most human beings never get this. To them, God is like a spare tire in the trunk that we just hope is inflated if we ever need it. Or like a fire extinguisher in the house that just is absorbed into the walls or absorbed into the furniture and gathering dust. We never even look at it or pay attention, but just in case we need the fire extinguisher, I sure hope it works. And that's how God is to many people. He's not a father. He's just a God that is there just in case of an emergency. I sure hope he works for me. I sure hope he gets me out of this jam. Well, that's not advanced. Now, God is so full of mercy and so full of patience that he might put up with that. You know, he might come through for us, but I wouldn't count on it. Advanced praying is when we get the whole thing turned around. I knew a man, and I feel bad for him to this day. I knew a man, and I heard his story, let's put it that way. And this man was just a man who just basically lived for himself and ate and drank and partied and got drunk and, you know, did all kinds of things and so on. And he wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ, never read the Bible, never went to church. never prayed, never thought about his creator, and his marriage began to go south. And those that knew him said there was just a short little season where he really began to get religious, and he just prayed very, very fervently that God would save his marriage. And the marriage broke up, and they divorced, and he went from being disillusioned with God to being bitter at God, and to the place where basically decades have gone by and nobody can even bring up the name of God to this man in a conversation. See, he had a misinformed, I guess, view of what prayer is. You know, he felt for a season of his life, well, for all of his life, he could do anything he wanted to, live any way he wanted to. But so help me, if God doesn't come through for me when I need him, then I'm just going to be mad at him the rest of my life, and he has remained that way. Now, we don't treat anybody else that way. We don't treat any human being that way, let alone God. And there are many disillusioned people with prayer who will say, well, I tried praying once. And they go from disillusionment sometimes to bitterness. It doesn't work this way, folks. We exist for God. He doesn't exist for us. Revelation 4 and verse 11, it tells us that the reason he created us was for his pleasure. For his pleasure. Growing up on the farm, my dad didn't serve me, I served him. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. There's not a one word in the Bible that says we ought to honor our children. Not one word. It says we ought to honor the Lord, ought to honor our parents, ought to honor the king and those in authority. There's nothing about honoring children. We grew up obeying our parents and doing what they said and honoring them and serving them. We've got to grasp this idea in prayer. See, there's a lot of people who become disillusioned with prayer because they have the whole thing out of sorts. Prayer is about God the Father first. That's what Jesus taught so clearly. And you'd be amazed how many people have this prayer memorized but don't live by it. I mean, there's saved people and unsaved people all over the world, all over our country, who can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. They can just spit it out without even thinking. They've got the whole thing memorized, but they haven't practiced the concept of prayer is about God's for thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. So there's just two things I want to focus on here tonight in this lesson. It's about God first. It's about the Father first. When you get into advanced prayer, now when you're a little kid, when you're a little babe in Christ or something like that, God just puts up with hearing from us. He's just glad to hear us from us. But as you mature, we ought to start correcting things as the Bible has an effect on us. And we ought to start doing things the way God has said, and God has so ordered. I want you to notice just two phrases tonight, thy kingdom and thy will. The first thing about prayer, the disciples just said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he says, okay, I'll teach you to pray. Now the main focus of prayer needs to be on God's kingdom and on God's will. It's about the Father's kingdom. It's about the Father's will. And then after that, then you pray about yourself. So let's look at this phrase, thy kingdom come. When we begin prayer, I mean when you get down on your knees in your prayer time, wherever that is, and even when you get off your knees and drive in your car to work and you begin your prayer life, and we need to have both, a sanctified prayer time, but then also a prayer life while we're working and doing housework and yard work. And you can pray all day long to the Lord. But there ought to be a continual focus in your heart and mind on the Lord's kingdom. We ought to be kingdom builders. We ought to be trying to build up the Lord's kingdom through prayer. His kingdom, not ours. Now, a lot of people want to use prayer to build their kingdom. Lord, please give me a big house. Please give me a lot of money. Please give me this new car. Please give me a better paying job. Please give me a promotion on the job. Please give me good health. Please give me jewelry. And please give me a pool and a deck and a camper. And please give me an ATV and a Humvee and all these other Vs. And give me a new plasma TV. And they want to just use prayer to build their kingdom. Their kingdom. It's not about our kingdom. It's about the Lord's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Now, what is God's kingdom? Listen, you got to get this. This is about the main point tonight. God's kingdom is people. God's kingdom is people. If you and I are going to pray like Jesus taught us to pray, we're going to have to spend most of our time praying for people. Praying for people and things that have to do with people. God's kingdom is people. We need to pray for people to be delivered from the power of Satan and to be brought out of darkness into the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Now, just a personal note here, as I have been learning to pray for a long time and tried to pray, I would probably honestly say tonight that 90% of my prayer life and prayer time is spent praying for other people. Or for ministries to other people. Because those are the things that build God's kingdom. People and ministries to people. And then at the end of my prayer time, I spend a little bit of time praying for myself. Now this will change, this school of prayer, this proper school of prayer will change our whole perspective on life. Change our whole perspective on life. It'll help us to begin to think and approach life the way God thinks and God approaches life. One of the things that I've tried to do over the years is to share my prayer life with you. I've tried to be transparent about that. One of the things some of you that know that come to this church regularly is I've tried to actually put my prayer life down on the paper. For instance, I've passed out calendars. Many different calendars to help us pray properly. There was one in the bulletin this week about ministries in our church. It looks like this, where I divided all the ministries of this local church into 30 days. And so that whatever the day might be, today was the 16th, and so this morning I was praying for the ladies' visitation program. I was praying for the ladies' prayer meeting. I was praying for the ladies' Sunday night meeting here at the church at 5:30. That these things would be used to build God's kingdom. I've got other calendars. One at the top says, the unsaved. And I've just filled these blocks with names of unsaved people that I pray for fervently to be saved. I've got another calendar where I put the names of those I know who are saved or church members in there. And so that I go through here, I don't know of anybody in this room, except unless you're brand new or something, who I don't pray for regularly. We have a calendar that looks like this with all the missionaries that our church supports, about 80 different missionaries now around the world, in every time zone, in many, many countries. We are praying. And our church is sending them money every single month so they can stay in that foreign field or country. Why? So they can build up the kingdom of God. We have a calendar like this about all the local churches in Western New York that are gospel preaching churches in the pastor's name and what town they're in. And I spent time this morning fervently praying for a couple of the churches, one in Eddiesville and one in Niagara Falls, and the pastors, and praying that God would bless those churches and help those churches and fill those churches with the Spirit of God and the power of God and many, many specific things for those local churches. And I gave out lists. Some of you men receive lists Sunday of new attenders, babes in Christ that God has sent our way that we want to pray for and pray up and hope that Jesus Christ will be formed in them. What are we doing? All that is for one reason, to build the kingdom of God. To build the kingdom of God. And brethren, if you're going to pray accurately, it's going to take you a long time. It's going to take you a long time to pray accurately. And so I share that. And then I have a lot of other prayer requests that people have given me that I have written down on a piece of paper. Special, please pray for my wayward son. Please pray for my wayward daughter. Please pray for this. And I just try to pray for them every day. And some of these once a week, some of these once a month. And all kinds of other things that people need. This is what we're supposed to do. In Ephesians, and I'll read this, don't turn there. Ephesians chapter number 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, that means never quitting, and supplication for all saints. Wow! What a prayer request. Pray for all the saints. And then the next verse says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's the missionary. So we're supposed to pray for all saints and all missionaries. And what are we doing that for? To build up the kingdom, to build up His kingdom, not ours. When you that are workers go to Hopevale, go there and pray, Lord, Thy kingdom come. Help us through this ministry to add to Your kingdom. When you go to the prisons on Tuesday nights, when we go to the charity mission, like last night I was down in Buffalo, we go to the nursing homes tomorrow with Pastor Seth, and I have to go to the Lakeshore Nursing Home and speak twice tomorrow. We go to the festivals, we go to the fairs, we go out oftentimes to these different ministries. When you think about it, from most of these ministries, not one single person is ever going to come to this church. But that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it for the Lord's kingdom. Not one of those prisoners, not one of those people from the nursing home, not one of those people from Hopevale, or from the charity mission in Buffalo, and probably hardly very few, or if any, from the festivals or fairs are ever going to come to this church. But it's not about our church or building a little religious kingdom here. It's about building the Lord's kingdom. We go and we try to add to the Lord's kingdom by getting people saved. No matter what we do, our internet website is to help build God's kingdom all over the world. That's the motivation. And people all over the world go to our website and receive help. Our printing ministry, we printed probably close to 2 million pieces of gospel literature now. With booklets and tracts, I don't know exactly the amount. That's to build the Lord's kingdom. That's our motivation. The letter writing ministry, thousands and thousands and thousands of letters and tracts have gone out, and a few people have come into the church to that, but that's for the Lord's kingdom. We're trying to add souls to the kingdom as we've been studying heaven in Sunday school. It talks about a great multitude of much people in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven, a lot of people saved. Unfortunately, the Bible says there's going to be more in hell, but that's not God's will. Close to one-third, I think sometimes almost 35% of the total amount of income that comes into this church, about one-third of it goes to missions all over the world. And I'm glad about that. And we'll never see people come to this church because of that. But I think last year it was close to $90,000 that this local church sent to foreign mission fields and some local mission fields. And this year looks like it's our best year ever in the giving to missions. That's about the Lord's kingdom. See, it's about the Father first. Thy kingdom come. If you work in any ministry, I want to encourage you to have this prayerful attitude. If you work cleaning the church, just pray and say, Lord, help me to do my best so when people come, it's nice and neat and clean for Christ, and maybe people will keep coming and it'll help build your kingdom. If you teach a little Sunday school class, pray, Lord, help me to build your kingdom through these few little girls or few little boys. Help them to become productive, fruitful believers who will add many more souls to the kingdom of Christ. If it's the care ministry, your attitude ought to be, Lord, help me through caring for people to add to the kingdom of Christ. If it's preaching, Lord, help me through my preaching to add to the kingdom of Christ. If it's overseeing banquets, Lord, help this banquet somehow to add to the kingdom of Christ. If it's singing, being an usher, a doorkeeper, working in the nursery, working on a bus route, working in daily vacation Bible school, it ought to all be about the Lord's kingdom. Did you know God can make anything he wants? Except people who will love him and serve him. That's where we come in. See, God gave us all a free will. God cannot make anyone love him or serve him or be saved. That's where we come in. Do you realize how valuable that is to God, what we do? God can make mansions. He can make constellations and stars and galaxies. He could go like that and make a Lamborghini. Just right there it is. He can make anything he wants except people who will be saved and who will serve him and who will love him. And that's what he wants the most. And that's where you and I come in. And that's why proper prayer is so important. And that's why I think Satan tries to get us to just pray for ourselves and not for the missionaries. Not for the churches, not for the unsaved, and not for the church members, and not for those participating in ministries and so on. He just wants us to think about ourselves. He doesn't want us praying about the Lord's kingdom. But folks, we build up Christ's kingdom by our prayers, by our soul winning, and by our loving God, we provoke others to love God. And then they start adding to the kingdom of God. See, it's all about the Lord. This should give new light and new meaning to Matthew 6:33 when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things that you need will be added unto you. Put my kingdom first. Put my work first. In your prayer life, pray about my work. And then I'll take care of your needs. It's like on the farm. I didn't own the farm. Dad did. All I did was supply manual labor day after day after day after day for the success of his farm. And then as his farm succeeded, I benefited from it. We're talking about advancing in prayer. Let me just close with this. We need to pray for his kingdom. Lord, use me to enlarge your kingdom. Lord, what can I do today to benefit your kingdom? Can you imagine how our lives would change completely if we would pray accurately, like the Lord taught us? We wouldn't gossip, because that would hurt the Lord's kingdom. Does that make sense? We wouldn't tear down people in the church. tear down people who are trying, tear down teens who are trying. We wouldn't have a bad attitude because that would hurt his kingdom. If we pray properly, then day after day after day after day, we would just approach life saying, what can I do for your kingdom today? What can I do for your kingdom today? And then it's about his will. Notice it says in verse 2 again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. One of the thrills of my life lately has been to study the subject of oranology, the doctrine of heaven. I've been teaching it in Sunday school. If you'd like to come, I'd love to have you. 9:50 on Sunday mornings, we're going through oranology. We're just going through what the Bible says about heaven. I know more about heaven today than I've ever known before. I've got this one prayer request I pray every day to God. And I say, Lord, please perfect my faith in the reality of hell and in the reality of heaven, so it will produce more works and witnessing in my life. See, I want to believe in hell. I want to believe in heaven. With a faith that produces works. Because faith without works is dead. So I decided this year, I said, you know, I've never in my life, I've been saved 38 years, I've never in my life really studied heaven. How can I pray this if I don't know? How can I pray this prayer right here? Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. How can I pray that if I don't know what heaven's like? So I've been studying. I've been studying people in heaven. Isaiah's vision. Paul's vision. John's vision. They're all recorded in the Bible when they saw what heaven was like in the future of heaven, the people there. I found out these things, and I could give you the verses and everything, but you can get them from the book when we finally get it printed up. Everybody in heaven is saved, Revelation 21:4. Everyone in heaven is redeemed, Revelation 5, verse 9. Everyone in heaven worships God, Revelation 4:10. Everyone in heaven serves God, Revelation 7:15. Everyone in heaven sings, Revelation 5 and verse 9. Everybody in heaven obeys the Lord, Revelation 14 and verse 4. Everyone in heaven is righteous, Revelation 22 and verse 15. Now, that's just a sampling of what the Bible tells us people are like in heaven. And now our Lord says that part of our prayer every day should be, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. So what should our prayer be done for down here? You say, if you want to pray properly, you need to pray, and I need to pray that everybody will be saved. Every single person. That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 about God, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And then let's say somebody's saved, and then you say, oh good, I'm done praying for them. No, no, no. Then we need to pray, Lord, help that person to worship you. Help that person to serve you. Help that person to sing. A person that can't sing, there's something wrong, foundationally wrong with their relationship with God. They don't have to sing well, just make a joyful noise, but the Spirit-filled person sings. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Give them a song, Lord. Everybody in heaven obeys. We should pray, Lord, help this person to obey. Everybody in heaven is righteous. Lord, help this person to overcome their sin, their temptations, their flesh, and so on and so forth. And we can pray for people to become on earth as people have become in heaven. So this is going to advance our prayer life, so we're not going to just pray, Lord, bless Jim and bless John and bless Joe. Okay, they're already blessed. But we need to advance in our prayer lives where we say, Lord, help Jim to really worship you. He needs your help, Lord. He's been focusing on himself. He's been focusing on his problems. He's been focusing on this, that, or the other. He seems to be distracted, Lord. And, of course, you don't say these things in a public prayer time. You say these things in private to God. Lord, help him to worship you. Help him to get his focus back on the Lord. Lord, help him to serve you. There was a time when he used to be involved in ministries. There was a time when he used to win souls, and he's not doing that anymore. Lord, help him to to serve you. Tell him to sing, put a song back in his heart, even praise. And Lord, that will give him joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so you can get really deep in praying for people if we pray properly. See, before we get to the us of verses 3 and 5, 4, it's thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And there is so much to praying about that, that usually after my prayer time's up, and I got to get on with my day, I say, oh yeah, Lord, I got a couple things too. If you could remember these things, but building up God's kingdom through prayer is something that you and I can do, because God answers prayer. Dr. Jack Scott said, prayer doesn't change things, it changes people. That's a good point. If we're praying properly, it's going to change people. Are you interested tonight in God's kingdom? Are you interested tonight in God's will? That's advanced prayer. That's advanced prayer. That's where we really, really get to know God. Change your whole perspective of life. Let's pray. Father,